Oh, where we are, Joe and Mike, buildassetsonline.com. We got another one coming at you about the Google Helpful Content Update. This is the update that just keeps on giving to people that are into the business of affiliate sites, niche sites, blog sites, whatever you want to call it. It's just decimated a lot of people's businesses. And based on the feedback we got from the last video that we did, the last live stream, we wanted to do another one because I want to give you some concrete tips on how to beat the Google Helpful Content Update with bad content. And I'm not saying like spammed out content or like just some complete BS. I'm being a bit tongue in cheek here. But the point is, you know, I see a lot of people talking on YouTube and on X, Twitter, whatever. They're like, oh, go make your content more helpful. Go make your content more helpful. And really, while there might be some truth to that, you know, if that's all you do, you're just going to be spinning your wheels because as you're going to see in this presentation, that's not like a legitimate strategy to increase your income online is going and making your content more helpful. You can make it more helpful, but that's only going to help if you do it in conjunction with other things. And these other things are things that matter a lot more, in my opinion. And we're going to focus on one of those things today. In my opinion, the most important thing that if you don't have this, going and making your content more helpful is going to be completely useless. So
cool.
So I guess let's get right into it. And then we'll take some questions at the end. So here is going to be the core of today's presentation is that branded search is king. Branded search is when, what is branded search? Branded search is when someone goes to Google and they type in basically the name of your website into Google. So they're searching for your branded search. That's the idea behind it. And from what I've observed, sites that actually have branded search, they typically don't get knocked down, especially in this update. And I'm going to talk about that because John Mueller, everyone knows this guy.
Everyone knows him?
He's like the press secretary for Google search. Like he's like the head of, he communicates to the public about Google search. And one of the big things he said was, is that, you know, they added all this stuff. They made big part of this update as how Reddit and Quora are ranking. And the reason they got the signal to do that is because people will type in stuff like best wireless router, Reddit, best cordless mouse, Reddit. So people are searching for the query on Google and then typing in Reddit. So that, whatever you think about that, that was a signal to them that Reddit should be moving up in these search results. So branded search, I'm just trying to stress to you that getting your site name searched in Google is very, very important. But it comes with a caveat, is can the average everyday affiliate slash niche site owner slash blogger use branded search to revive their site in any meaningful way? And I think the answer is unfortunately not for most people, because how are they going to do that? How are they going to naturally get people to search their random affiliate website, you know, month in and month out in Google? I'm going to show you a couple examples of affiliate and or I guess you could say blog sites that have done that. But these are really the exception and not the rule of what you can do as an average person. So let's talk about three ways to get branded search. Number one is that you have an actual brand from social media that people search for you.
And I'm going to show social media.
Yeah. So here's two examples. Epic Gardening is a website. They actually sell their own stuff. I think they started as an affiliate site. This is a brand they started. I think they existed, but they're part of like the Authority Hacker program. And they're commonly cited by Authority Hacker as, you know, a great success story of one of their students. Now, as you can see, they have a ton of branded search. Epic Gardening YouTube, Epic Gardening Raised Beds, Epic Gardening Kevin, who is the guy on YouTube, Epic Gardening Store. Now, of course, we have this for Build Assets Online as well, but not at the same scale that we see here for Epic Gardening. But needless to say, we haven't updated our website in probably like 3-4 years, and our rankings have remained relatively stable given that.
This is pitiful.
Yeah. I mean,
saying even just a shred of branded volume can sort of spare you from Google's helpful content acts, as it were.
I think it's one of the main factors. And look, as we see here with Epic Gardening, they have 2.61 million YouTube subscribers. And you could see their graph going, you know, their traffic graph and Ahrefs just being ridiculous. Now, again, is this something that the average person can replicate? And if you're just getting, like, the answer is no. Like, this guy is very talented. He knows a lot about gardening. He's good in front of the camera. Like, he has it all. He's like an elite specimen of what you need to do this. But not everyone has this, you know? Not everyone's going to have – a lot of people, the whole thing about making an affiliate site or a niche site is that, you know, you do research on the subject and then you write about it. You know, you're not getting into the weeds as it will, you know, as it is with Epic Gardening, no pun intended. So is that clear, Mike? Am I making sense here?
Yeah, I think so. And I think, like you said, a lot of the appeal of SEO is to be a rich ghost. And right. You just do the research and you sit in your basement and you're able to put up a site and have it, you know, make money without having to show your face. And I think if I can maybe summarize what it seems like to be your theory is that
Google... Hey, this isn't theory, but this is fact.
Okay, it's a theorem.
Sorry, go ahead.
You're postulating that Google's helpful content update is set to make people with some sort of influence as the people that are credible to provide help instead of the random blog site that has no branded search. Google is now starting to deem those. I think really they're just trying to target and get those people out of the equation.
Right. Well, Google doesn't really know. Branded search is really just one of their proxies for how their machine learning algorithms determines if something is helpful or something.
Right. I know it doesn't understand it, but it's using the idea of, okay, is there branded search to say, okay, then this is actually a helpful resource because people are coming back to this person or brand to seek advice, to seek information. And therefore, they're maintaining their rankings, while these websites that don't have any sort of branded search, they're deeming to be not helpful.
Right.
Less helpful.
Right. That's along the lines of what I'm saying here. And obviously, the title of this show is Beat It With Bad Content. Epic Gardening obviously doesn't have bad content. You know, they're kind of experts in this whole thing. But I'm going to show you how you can... But build assets online, I would argue our website content is really not great. And our rankings have been stable. Not that I even care about them, but, you know, whatever. That's just an example of what I'm saying here. Epic Gardening doesn't have bad content in case they watch this and take it the wrong way. So, like I was saying, this Epic Gardening example is not a realistic example of what most people can do. It's just, you know, they don't have the talent for it. They don't have the time. They don't have the resources. So let's just put this to the side. If this is something you think you can do, then by all means, go ahead and replicate Epic Gardening, okay? Now, let's talk about method two, which in my opinion, this is a good method, but not the best method. We're going to get to the best method in the third section. So method two is to fake branded search with an EMD. An EMD is an exact match domain, and I've tested this actually. We have a couple EMD sites that, you know, they're just test sites, but they rank, they make a little bit of money here and there. They rank for like a couple keywords, a couple low volume keywords, but they make some money. And let's talk about this for a second. This is a search overview on Ahrefs for the site Home Planetarium. And what site is ranking number one? Home-planetarium.com. And again, I'm not saying the content on this is bad, but this is basically a run-of-the-mill affiliate site. ranking number one because they've faked branded search. And you know how I know they faked branded search? Because if you Google like best star projector, they don't rank number one. They get outranked by space.com. But for Home Planetarium, like Google literally thinks that's their brand, like that's the brand that people are looking for. They're looking for homeplanetarium.com. And I'll show some more examples of this. You have, this is a SERP for best trackball mouse reviews. Look at number three, trackballmousereviews.org, outranking Engadget, Electronics Hub, you know, right below New York Times. So this is an
I want to point people to these domain ratings, which is DR. If you look at this column, these are some of the most insane domain ratings I've seen on a search like this.
Yeah. I mean, look at Home Planetarium. We got a DR of 11 beating Amazon, beating space.com. So, you know, this is an example of faking branded search.
Which one is 99 here? Oh, it's YouTube. Okay.
Yeah. So this is a quick and dirty way that you could do this. Now, what I'm going to recommend, of course, this has nothing to do with going back and making your content more helpful. You want to make your, it would be nice if the content you have on here is helpful. That would be a great bonus. And I'm not saying you put up just total, you know, nonsense. But what I'm saying is, unless you're doing helpful content in the context of getting branded search, I think you're just going to be spinning your wheels here. Hello?
Yeah, wow.
Okay. So let's move on a little bit. Catering Stamford, Connecticut, another example. This is a rank and rent site, so used for local lead gen. You know, you got this site, cateringstamfordconnecticut.com. This was a public example created by Herc Magnus. He's talked about it on other YouTube channels, so I had no problem pulling it up here. But I think it just shows that, you know, look at this. Look at this. You have you're using an EMD, faking branded search to rank for a keyword that can potentially make money. And that I think is what it's all about. So method three, and by the way, you can combine method three with method two. And I'm going to recommend this. This is something that we might be sort of experimenting with in the future. So method three is building branded search through profitable advertising. And this is what we do with our high ticket drop shipping stores. And this, in my opinion, is really the best way to do this. And I'm going to show you why. So if we look here, here's three screenshots from our drop shipping store that we've had since 2016. Okay. This is the ad spend for Google Ads. We're at 1.13 million in ad spend. This is just a screenshot from our account. Over 1 million clicks. I pulled up the Ahrefs search volume of our store name, 350. And looking at the traffic trends over time, you know, I'm not going to lie. You know, is the content on this website the most helpful? Like, it's not different than any other website that I write. You know what I'm saying? It's like content is content. Like, there's a minimum bar you have to set is what I'm trying to say, you know. Just because you're going to create content that's going to blow someone's balls off, it doesn't mean that you're going to start getting crazy rankings without the context of what I'm talking about here today.
No. Yeah, and it should be remembered that Google doesn't have balls.
Yeah.
So it's going to be hard for them to tell whether the content is blow your balls off worthy or not.
Exactly. They use these machine learning proxies to figure out what they deem as helpful. That's the point. So, you know, look, we got branded search, we got traffic coming from ads. And the beautiful thing is we've been able to do this profitably. So almost 20 million in sales since 2016. And, you know, SEO is really an afterthought of this website. And it comes as a natural part of the process of using paid advertising. And when you do paid advertising, you know, a lot of this is Google Shopping and text ads. People click the products, they bookmark it, they search your store to come back later. So e-commerce stores were actually really big winners in this update. And that is, this is an example of that. Because people bookmark the stuff, they search the stores later, they come back. You know, Google views this as a real business because it is a real business. Now, is a blog, is an affiliate site, is it a real business? No. You can make a little bit of money, you know, you could definitely make some money there. But what I'm saying is, if you're going to make money there, you got to do it through the ways that I'm showing here. Again, this is, you know, Google could not like this kind of stuff, this EMD stuff. They might start to recognize this eventually. You know, they might crack down on this, but I'm just saying that, you know, you see what I was, I've been talking so much that kind of lost my train of thought here.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty clear. The EMD is one way to fake branded search, while e-commerce is an actual way to have real branded search and maintain profitability throughout the entire process of doing SEO and waiting for it to rank and enjoying that free traffic and those free sales. So your only legitimate option as a SEO enthusiast is to build a real business, almost like the Epic Gardening guy, where yes, it's based around a blog, but he's doing other things through social media, podcast, whatever, to build his brand. Therefore, people search his brand. He has repeat visitors, things like that. There is the EMD exploit, but really e-commerce is the only way around having to show your face and try and build a brand from scratch while still enjoying all the benefits of SEO.
You know, you don't need the Epic Gardening talent and expertise to make an e-commerce store. And you can get the same effect. You know, our e-commerce store, we don't go in front of the camera. We don't talk on podcasts. It just gets all that branded search naturally through paid advertising, and we make money doing it.
Yeah.
So there's ROI across the whole process and across the board. This is what we've been harping about for years, Mike. I think one of our new students, you said when you talked to him originally, he watched our last video on the helpful content update. And he said it woke him up. And I hope this wakes some other of you from some others up out there, because that's just the reality of it. This is the new normal.
Yeah, I just don't, at this point, the dream of having this portfolio of SEO sites that are just going to be constantly growing and bringing in money is kind of dead. Like, I mean, we really enjoy our SEO earnings and they're great, but there has to be that understanding that they can get hit with an update and they're vulnerable. While over the years, even though our plan originally was, you know, we're going to have blog sites, we're going to have e-commerce sites, and they're all going to grow in tandem and hopefully, you know, we'll make a lot of money with that. The e-commerce sites have continued to grow in organic traffic, in revenue, and I don't think we've really gotten hit with any updates, knock on wood. We haven't suffered negatively from any updates. So
right,
we're really the only ones that have been, as far as I know, testing a lot of different business models against each other. And this is what we're seeing. So we're reporting back to the people.
Right. Right. And so the key is stop treating your blog or affiliate site like a passion project. I think, you know, and some people can do this. Some people are really great at it, but we're more talking about not the 1% here. We're talking about the 99% that are trying to make a living on the internet. You know, you cannot treat it like a passion project. You can't have a website that you're going to keep growing and monetizing with display ads, writing all the content yourself. It's just not feasible, and you're going to be let down most of the time. What you need to be doing is creating sites that they're not necessarily unlimited in scope. Maybe they have a pretty big scope, but they're asymmetrical bets where it's profit first, rank later, or it's, okay, this site took me a few hours and now I'm just going to wait and I'm done with it. I'm not going to keep going back into it and spinning my wheels. That's, I think, what the message I'm trying to get across here is. And believe me, I've spun my wheels, you know, until they fell off. you know, I got a flat tire from spinning them. So,
yeah. And really, I think the big issue is SEO sites lack, in many cases, the high ticket aspect of the online business criteria. And so, yeah, it makes it harder to make these asymmetrical bets when you, especially if you're writing this content all yourself, you're not using AI, and AI would be bad content, right? So like you're trying to be helpful. You're trying to write everything yourself just to potentially make pennies from an affiliate commission or from ads. So you don't have that same bet of time investment versus ROI.
Exactly. Exactly. It's all about the ROI, the time investment on what I see people doing with like niche sites and blog sites or whatever. I feel like the problem is that the time investment can just be infinite. Like you got to cut it off at some point.
Yeah. I think that's actually a big revelation because SEO, yeah, it can be extremely valuable. It can be extremely lucrative. And of course these are assets you can sell, but you have to be strict about the time that you're putting in, given the volatility of it and given what the output could be when you're making, you know, small ad revenues and small affiliate commissions. And that's really the big problem. SEO is an infinite game and can take up an infinite amount of your time. And it's just too risky to play it like that because, again, you're not making thousands per sale off for most people. So you have to really, be strict in that regard.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so let's get to some of the questions. We'll go from the top. Can you explain about your site with 250K pieces of content? Saeed asked this. Is this kind of programmatic SEO? How long do you have this website? I've had the website probably since 2020. And it wasn't until like recently, I started May 2023, adding the content. Believe it or not, it's kind of expensive to add 250K pieces of organic content with the AI credits and all that. So yeah, it is programmatic SEO. I'm not targeting keywords with volume. Just, you know, going off of almost like a database that I created, and the website already had a bit of traffic coming in. And I can actually guarantee you that if I'd never put the 250K pieces of content on this website would be dead. So I can actually go back a little bit. Let me see if I could, I could take some year to date. Hold on a second. I'll take a year to date screenshot of the earnings and traffic of this website and I can share it.
Why do you think it would be dead?
Because the pages that got hit with this helpful content update were not the 250K pieces of AI content, but rather the content that was written before that.
And you think that's because those ones that you spend time to have a writer do or whatever were more competitive than just the no search volume AI articles that they're going to stay ranked because there's really no one else to compete for those queries?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's kind of the key here is like, you know, I don't have branded search on this site, but I do have a lot of queries that no one is going to serve up because there's just no search volume and, you know, they're not going to have the, you know, I guess the resources to create them in the way that I did. So yeah,
exactly.
So I'll actually pull up some screenshots for that in a second. Let me just prepare them. Do you want to take the next question, Mike? Or is there even any more questions?
Well, we got GC here asking, I think the real question here is whose chair is more comfy? Mike's looks awesome, but Joe's has that comfy classic mid-century modern vibe.
Listen, I'll just say this. My wife actually is the one that picks out the chairs. And, you know, my chair is pretty comfortable, but she picks them out not necessarily with comfort first in mind. Let's just say that. But this is not bad.
Yeah, I mean, this is a decent chair too. But I think really you're maximizing comfort with the blanket.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely supplement how comfortable the chair is by having a blanket in my lap.
The blanket isn't even supplementing your bottom half. It's just over the top providing mental support.
Yeah. It's like a mental crutch.
Okay. That's good. Game control. How quick do EMDs generally rank given a monthly search volume of 2000? I mean, I think that's not going to be the main criteria of is an EMD going to rank. I think it's going to just come down to competition rather than search volume.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's also going to depend what you do to it after. Again, if you have the EMD with good, helpful content, that's going to help. But yeah, it's going to be going to come down to competition. Not necessarily just search volume. Obviously, the higher the search volume you get, the more competition you're gonna run into. So,
well, if it's like a lawyer keyword or something like that, then that could be a different story. But
yeah, I think, and also going back to what I was saying, if you can combine, so this is a bit of a paradox. I think this is gonna be something we're gonna be adding in our course update, but. When we do supplier research for our high ticket dropshipping stores, let me just hide this for a sec. You know, we have a very specific method of picking a domain, and that's how we get suppliers. That's how we get a nice supplier list. That's how we ensure that we're not going to fail. But I don't want to confuse people with this, but there can be a play where I think if you have an established track record of products that you have suppliers for, you could potentially do an EMD play with that. And then you're really combining the best of both worlds because you can make an EMD high ticket dropshipping store with verified products that you know work.
Yeah. Obviously, if you're going to do an EMD for high ticket dropshipping, you're going to be very, very limited in the ability to branch out. Like you can't, you can't be homeplanetarium.com and then go start selling, I don't know, greenhouses or something. It's just not going to make sense. But Joe, my gripe with the EMD as well, even if it is something, I don't know. My main gripe with the EMD is the branded search. You're not going to be able to capitalize on the branded search for your store that has the real intent of somebody looking for your store. Does that make sense?
Well, not necessarily, because I think what would happen is, say you were getting a site that was like, I don't know, say it was like buytelescopes.com or something. And that was a keyword that had like, say 100 search volume. And it was clear your website was buytelescopes.com. You had that in your logo. I think the search volume for that would only increase, and Google's going to see that people are clicking on your result when they search that. So I think that's what would happen, and it would be only positive.
Something like that where the search volume is low, I think it'd be less of an issue. But my point is that you're not going to be able to distinguish those really, really high intent searchers who are just looking for your specific website to buy versus the people that are just searching buy telescope because they're looking to buy a telescope and they don't really have huge intent.
But so some of them
have to, you're going to have to go and take up a lot of that search impression share. And you're not going to be able to parse out, like, again, who's looking for you and who's just looking for that sort of generic term. Whereas with like our own brand, when someone does that branded search, obviously there's not going to be people competing and we're going to show up everywhere. But like, that's a extremely, extremely profitable campaign to run.
Right. Yeah, I guess you're talking from the paid ad side. You know, hard to say, really. Yeah, I guess your campaign would be less profitable because you'd have people coming in that don't have that super high intent. I definitely see what you're saying there, but I think
maybe it's worth sacrificing the profitability of that one campaign. to get the other benefits of the EMD. I don't know. We haven't really done this ourselves, but I would say it'd be less of a risk on a 100 search volume EMD that you're going for versus if you're able to get like a 1,000, 2,000 a month EMD where, it's going to be hard to actually like really compete on that term with paid ads all the time.
I want to talk about, and I think this goes back to our point before, Mike, is that if you do this high ticket dropshipping EMD project as kind of like a side thing that's not unlimited in scope, and say, you know, let me be honest here, I could if I was going to do this, I could make this store probably within 24 to 48 hours and it's done, and I'm not really doing much else to it. So when you do anything online, you really have to think of it from like a time in versus what you get out. And the ROI on time is super, super important. So I'm not saying that these high ticket dropshipping EM, this theory that we're talking about is going to be the be all end all of what you should do. I think still the best example of what you should do is what we talked about here, where you actually get real branded search the way that we normally talk about it. You know, I was just sharing that as a little bit of a bonus, something else you could try with some existing suppliers you have, something that's, you do it and it's done. You set up the site, maybe you throw some links at it month over month, you run the ads, but you're not constantly growing it or tweaking it or whatever.
Yeah, agreed. So for people that are new to this and you don't have a profitable high ticket dropshipping site by the way that we, you know, do it normally, you should definitely do that first, because the ability to put in your time and get back income is so much higher, and it's so much more predictable, and there's so many avenues to iterate. Whereas you make a website that's homeplanetarium.com and you're trying to sell, or buytelescope.com, you're trying to sell these telescopes, you have one opportunity to get suppliers. They have to be telescope suppliers. You got to trust that it's going to be an industry you want to work in. So it's not worth doing that unless that's something you've already verified completely beforehand. The way that we do high ticket dropshipping, I mean, it allows us to grow stores like you saw in, it's going to be 7 years now. Started out going zero in sales to hundreds of thousands of sales, hundreds of thousands in sales every month, which you can't do really on an EMD most likely.
Yeah.
Unless you really know what you're doing. This is way easier for a beginner.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
In many, many regards.
So
Brittany Hall said, what would you do with the lead generation site? Is that too niche? Well, if it's a lead generation site, you would do something with leads, I suppose. But we don't really get too into that right now. It's much easier, again, to have a high ticket dropshipping website where you're selling products that you're going to make hundreds or thousands of dollars on. You know that beforehand, and you can run paid traffic because it's an asymmetrical bet. The odds are in your favor that you can run ads in a way where you spend $100, $200 in ads, you make a sale, you make $1,000. So, and those things already have brand demand that you can capitalize on. It's a much easier play, an easier way to grow an asset versus lead generation business.
Yeah.
Detox said, what are your guys' goals in just 1 year and 5 years with HTE? I'm assuming he means high ticket e-commerce and the other businesses. Do we have a goal?
You know, I think at this point, I think we got to figure out like a good investment strategy here. So I don't know if that's a good answer to your question, but I would like to, I don't know.
We don't have specified written out goals that are on the wall or anything. I think
not that you shouldn't, but
yeah, maybe that's a fault. Maybe we should say we want to get to, you know, 10 million in in assets by the end of 2024. Maybe we should say that. Maybe that would be helpful for us. We do, I think, instead of goals, we have a lot of systems. So whether it's kind of what we do now, and we'll see if this persists, we try and set 90-day goals. So we're going to do certain things, and we're just going to do it as much as we can for like 90 days, and then we'll look back and we'll evaluate after that. Because there's so many things we can do all the time, because we have all these businesses that are sort of grown, and when they're grown, when they're profitable, opportunities just kind of present themselves. So like 5 years from now, yeah, we could set a goal, and maybe we should, but even the plan to get to that goal, it has maybe a 1-5% chance of actually being what's going to happen. 5 years ago is so long in this world. 5 years ago was 2018.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to be working in 5 years, to be honest with you. At least not in the way we are now. I think for 5 years, I would like to have investments and bank accounts growing on complete autopilot.
Yeah, and maybe that's kind of the system that we're chasing. Like we're doing things, we're testing things, we're taking action so that we put ourselves in a position to really we're going to find out what's going to grow our income the fastest with the least amount of effort and the least amount of risk. And we're sort of just testing and iterating towards that that point. GC, how's the land business going, gents? How many mailers are you guys sending a month these days? The land business is going great. How many mailers do we send a month? I don't have a good number. I'm going to try and make it more consistent, at least 5,000 a month. Because what we would do is we would send out a mailer, and then sometimes it would do really well. And then I would forget to send mail for like a month or two because I'm just chasing all the leads from, you know, that first or that hot mailer. Shout out to Joe for sending out the hot mailers. So yeah, I'm going to try and stay consistent at least 5,000 a month because we do have a full-time employee that works inside the land business. So it creates an incentive to like to actually keep them busy. And yeah, I mean, in the land business, I think if you're sending out that much mail, at least it's hard to not be successful.
One thing I want to add here is that, well, it's not really too relevant to the, well, yeah, it is. So a lot of people that sell education programs and courses online, unfortunately, that's really all they do. So they don't really have any expertise inside the business models that they're talking about. What we do is, you know, we make a good amount of money through our courses and stuff. But one thing I want to make clear is that a lot of that goes back into things like mailers. And so it goes back into our other businesses to grow and to scale them. Because if you think about it, us selling the courses the way we do, we put a lot of time and effort into our students and advising them privately and getting on calls. So it's not really that scalable. But the ROI is high enough to where we put it back into businesses that are super scalable. Like you can't just keep buying land without more money coming in. And, you know, it allows us to fund some of the tests that we do, like with SEO sites, EMD stuff, without like worrying about, oh, are we wasting too much money and things like that.
Yeah.
Hey, should we, I made this. All right. Let's say I made this slide to answer that guy's question. He was asking about the AI content site.
Okay. So this is the AI content site. And it looks like the left-hand side is like earnings per day. I'm going to assume.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you could see the top point where it was at like 52K sessions per day. That was right before the Google helpful content update hit. And it was Now it's down to like 30 to 35K sessions a day. But the point I'm trying to make is that where you even see it start to grow, that was when we started adding the content to it. So like, if you look, you can't really see it because of the way that we did it, but that the graph came out. But like, basically the site wasn't really growing until we started putting this content on it. This is just the Mediavine earnings. The site got on Mediavine. This is from the beginning of the year. So yeah, you could see May, like around the middle of the year so far. May is when we started scaling up with the AI content. So the site wasn't really growing until then. And now it kind of stabilized after the content update. And it's still making October 9th. I think yesterday it actually earned... What did it earn yesterday? Yesterday it earned 368. You could see...
Getting back up.
October 9th, 321. Yeah, well, there was a kind of a decline in ad revenue because of the new quarter reset. So that always happens. Mm-hmm. But you could see at its peak, August 30th, 684 a day. But the beautiful thing is I'm done investing into this site. So, you know, now it's just... Hopefully we're going to be living off these long-tail keywords, getting a nice recurring monthly income for a while.
Living off the long tails, baby. But yeah, this brings me to another point about this question. What are your goals in 1 year and 5 years? That graph.
What, you want to go back to it?
Go back to the graph. You said this happened in May. And this happened because of new technology that was presented into the marketplace that allowed us to sort of do this.
Yeah.
So how can you plan properly for 5 years from now when 1 year ago, this was not even something that was in our minds? But the point I want to make is because we take so much action that when things come out, new technologies, whether it's AI, whether it's whatever, we're in prime position to take advantage of it. So as soon as that happened, boom, Joe is not sleeping. He's cranking out hundreds of thousands of articles. And, you know, it was going well until this update, and it's doing fine. It's going to be, you know, hopefully it makes five figures a month. But that's just the point I'm trying to make. Like, this happened in May. Then that May was only 5 months ago. And it set us down a path to create something that is now making us, you know, $10,000 plus a month. Toby says, can you give me some ideas of how to improve my offer over competitors? I've started doing free gifts. Yeah, I mean, free gifts are good. Obviously, it's going to come down to pricing. So is there MAP pricing? It's going to come down to competitors. Like, how many are there? What does the scope of ads look like? And also, you should be comparing your website, your product page, to your competitors' product pages. Does it look better? Do their pages look better than yours? Are they maybe doing something or positioning things in places where you didn't think of? You have to go through it with a fine-tooth comb, depending on how competitive it is, and really be picky about that type of thing. And of course, there's going to be some stuff that is just too competitive to make it worth your while. When it's 50 people all competing on the same product and there's not good margins or whatever it is. So, you know, you're not giving me much information about, are you even making sales with this? Is it a good product for you to sell? And that would kind of determine how much effort you can put into it. Because you could also just kind of set it and forget it and then get a better supplier where there's less competitive product types. Where do we go here? Also, Mike's chair is better for taking it ease. Mike wins, the blanket is cheating. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. We haven't done like a test side by side. Khalid said, suppliers are giving me trade buying agreements instead of dealer agreements where they only give me like a very low discount, 7.5%. What do you do in this case? Love you guys, by the way. We love you, Khalid. I guess you should tell me, where are you? Where are you doing this? And it seems unlikely that multiple suppliers are all giving you trade buying agreements and they all have really low discounts. I don't know what a trade buying agreement is. Maybe it's like a, you know, it's like you're selling furniture. It's like an interior designer discount, like someone who's actually involved in the trade. So yeah, if you can give some more info, then that would be helpful.
You know, I did not that this is relevant, but I did another interesting test. I heard this from Charles Float. I don't know how well this is going to work, but I took another one of our AI test sites. The one that I did another video on this one, it's making like probably $30, $40 a day. It's not as big as the 250K one.
Nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah. But I used this WordPress plugin. I think it's called GT Translate. And I basically, it automatically makes it in like 12 different languages. So it's in like Polish, wow. German, Japanese, Spanish, like it's French, you know?
You said you started ranking for some stuff, right?
I don't know. I only did this a couple days ago. I'm just looking on, I'm seeing the pages are starting to get indexed now.
Nice.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, it reminds me of like the old Kindle days. You take a romance book and translate it to friggin' Spanish and stuff.
Honestly, I mean, I'm going to wait a few days to kind of see, probably like a month, maybe 2 months, kind of see how this works out. And then listen, maybe I'll, you know,
that's something to call a balls to the walls opportunity. Because there's a lot of scaling potential with minimal effort and guesswork, right?
If I do it on our site that has 250K pages, it's going to balloon.
Oh my God.
To like 3 million.
How much money would that cost?
Oh no, it's just like $20 a month or something.
To do that? Really?
Yeah.
Well, do we need like a VA or something?
No, you just press a button. You just press a button.
Oh my God.
Yeah, just press the button. And now it's, yeah, I see them getting indexed. Like I'm looking at the.
I guess how could it not?
What do you mean?
Like, why wouldn't it?
I don't know. Like, why wouldn't it work?
Why wouldn't it get indexed if it's no one else is in minimal competition on that term?
I'm just saying, like, I don't know. I might like overwhelm Google with the amount of pages. Like, yeah, I don't know. I'm just looking at like our index page on the site jumped from like 3,500 to 5,400 since I did it. And now there's still like 15K pages that aren't indexed yet, which I'm sure will get more indexed over again, time.
Back to this. You know, if this works.
But goals. Yeah, no, I don't know how much time and effort I want to put into something like that.
Muhammad said, hey guys, been watching you guys for about a month right now. Thanks for the value you're sharing. You're welcome.
Oh, God.
I mean, I think we provide decent value, but I hate being one of those people that are like, knowledge bomb. What was that podcast that we went on like a while back? Entrepreneurs on Fire or something?
Yeah, JLD or whatever his name is. JLD, John Lee Dumas.
Yeah. Yeah. Hello, guys. Sorry, I can't read Arabic to say your name. I only have one question. Could you please tell me if the time go back, would you start a high-ticket e-com biz or a blog and why? Well, I think we could just look at the historical results. We started many blogs at the same time that are closely around the same time we started our high-ticket e-commerce stores. And our e-commerce stores have been way more stable, earned way more money, and we've sold many of them for way more than we've sold any of our blog sites. Our blog sites have been an ongoing project for the last 6 years. our high ticket e-commerce stuff, the bulk of the business model and the way that we execute it has stayed the same probably for the last 5 years. The thing is, though, those people who are making millions through affiliate marketing through their blog, especially software revenue, with anything, there are people who are making millions. This is what people really need to understand. There are people that make millions doing stock market trading. There are people that make millions doing Facebook ads with low-ticket e-commerce. Anybody can make millions doing anything. It's about the success rate. It's about how much time does it take to put in to learn. And it's about if you put in that time, how likely is it that the time is going to be wasted? And the whole point of this video was that if you actually spend your time doing high-ticket e-commerce, it is very likely that if you put in effort day by day by day, you will generate results, and just a small result can give you a large payout, and that gives you the momentum to keep building it, keep building it, keep building it, and you'll reap all the SEO benefits with way less risk.
Yeah, I mean, look, Jeff Bezos is making billions from Amazon. How likely are you to be able to replicate that? You know, there's business. The way we, when we talk about things, it's in the context of there are business models that are easy and business models that are super, super hard. Business models that require more risk, more expertise. Business models that are asymmetrical bets that require less money, less risk, less expertise. So that's the lens through which we try to view everything.
Yeah. Yeah, you can find someone being successful in any avenue. It doesn't mean that it's something that's likely to bring you success. Muhammad said, I'm currently in the process of onboarding suppliers. That's very cool. Brittany said, thank you guys for the helpful info. Mark says, how has Google Ads changed over the years in terms of costs? Stable, question mark? Well, Google Ads has changed in terms of their interface a lot. In terms of costs, I think it's just hard to say because over time, you know, we're trying to grow our businesses, which means we're going to be upping our bids based on what's working. So from our perspective, it's hard to actually assess that because our bids are changing throughout time. Yeah. I mean, it's probably gotten a little bit more expensive, and that's just a matter of inflation and people coming into the market. And a dollar 5 years ago was worth more than a dollar today. So you got to take that into account. What does, in your opinion, make me leave that opportunity, I think, and go for high-ticket e-commerce dropshipping? If you're talking about the opportunity of making millions through affiliate marketing with software reviews, what makes you leave it? If you've been trying it for years and years without getting a good result or without actually coming to a process where you can continually put in an effort day by day and get a compounding return, then it's not something that's going to be worth your time.
Hey, listen, you could do whatever you want. If you go watch and watch the stream, I feel like we presented our evidence and our perspective on it, as well as multiple ways to approach this all. So, I mean, it's up to you. It looks like by your name, I'm not sure if you are like, I don't know where you're from. It doesn't look like you're from an English speaking country. So, I mean, maybe trying to, I mean, maybe high ticket dropshipping wouldn't be like good. I don't know your situation. Like, you know, you just got to take what we say, consider all the things, and then do what you feel is best. But if you don't speak English, I think it's going to be hard to, not that you clearly speak English, but what I'm saying that is if English is not your primary language, I think it does create, if you're going to try to dropship in the US, there might be some barrier there that would be difficult to overcome. So,
right. Of course. Yeah. We can't, really dropship in Germany or something, because how are we going to call suppliers? What are we going to say to them?
Exactly. Even if I could write German, if my conversational German isn't like a native speaker, they're going to be like, what the heck? Like, they're not going to understand. Like,
also when it comes to running ads, I think understanding intent.
Yeah, exactly. Understanding the language in and out, I think, is very important for whatever language. I'm not saying you have to do it in English at all. We have students in other languages, but yeah.
I think understanding the language is a prerequisite for having a business.
Yeah. Well, you could get away with it.
Dave Ramsey says, do what you know, right? And yeah. Think about it. If you don't know the language, there's going to be so many nuances to everything that you do that it'll make you way less efficient, and you're not going to be able to execute things as well as somebody that is a native. Like, just for example, with the ads, like I was saying, if I wasn't a native English speaker and I'm trying to do Google ads and look at search terms, and I can't really think of a example right now, but there's so many search terms where Google shows you for something and it seems Google thinks it's relevant, but when you actually examine it and you understand the product and you understand what these words really mean, it's not as that relevant. And so you can waste a whole bunch of money on terms that aren't relevant, and you don't understand that fully because you're not a native speaker of the language. Levy said, hi guys, thank you for all the free info we give out. It's changed the direction of me and my family's lives. Has it? I would like to know how, but you're welcome.
I think his name is Levi.
Levy, Levi. What's the difference?
What's in a name?
A name is powerful, Joe. Question about Google Ads. I keep getting limited by budget on my campaigns. Is that a recommendation I should actually apply from Google, or is it just wanting to take more of my money? Thanks in advance. All it's really saying is they could spend more of your money. They could show you more, but your budget is capping them. So this isn't something I'm worried about. And in fact, this is a helpful tool, because if the amount you spend on Google is going to be dependent on how much you're bidding and how much search volume there is for those particular keywords. So if based on your bids and based on the search volume that exists, Google could potentially spend hundreds or thousands of dollars per day. But you may not be ready to spend that much money because you don't know exactly what works, what doesn't work. Obviously, you have to spend $20 a day, $50 a day, and have those be profitable before you spend $500 a day. So being limited by budget is a good thing, because it allows you to learn without spending just a shitload of money. And then as you figure out what works, you tweak ad spend towards what's working. And as the $20 a day is really profitable, okay, now you can raise it to 40, see what happens, tweak it from there, raise it to 60, raise it to 100, to the point where you're not limited by budget anymore, but your ads are so refined that they're going to be profitable at that highest level. But yeah, tell us how we changed your life, because I mean, I don't know. Like, what are we saying in any of this free content, Joe?
I don't know.
We're just
some guy dropped his website for us to look at.
Where?
Khalid 1228, I guess two questions down. I gotta go in like 5 minutes.
Oh shit. All right, how about this then? What AI software are you using to pump out these articles?
Byword and Koala.
Okay.
Do speed answers here.
With what's going on in the economy, would you recommend people to aim for more necessity products rather than want products? No, I'm not looking at that. If less people are searching for something, then you're just going to get less clicks and you're going to get less spend. So
yeah,
it's that will reflect And there's going to be people that are going to be, that are going to have money. That's really it. And you're going to want to continue to serve those people. People continue to have money, will just continue to spend.
And again, it comes down to how much time are you putting into your website? If you can train yourself to build websites quickly, call suppliers quickly, understand Google ads, you know, do everything fast. Like, who cares if something dips 20, 30% when you can build something else?
Or just get a new supplier.
Yeah.
What would you do if almost all the suppliers rejected us with a store like mine? My garage supplies. Should I pivot to a broad store? No. That store is broad enough.
Is this guy one of our
They're probably students? Rejecting you for a different reason. This is, he's saying he got the trade agreements and 7.5%.
Yeah. Is this guy one of our students? I'd like to talk to him in more detail about how you're approaching suppliers and things like that. Your site actually looks decent. There's a couple problems with it. I think it's got to be how you're approaching and talking to them. So I would like to. I mean, your site is way built out for someone that has zero suppliers. So, you know, I would like to talk to you more. I don't know if you're in our program or not.
He has a shitload of brands on here. So I don't know if those are fake or what.
Maybe that's why they're rejecting you.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're calling them and their brand is already on your store, they're not going to like that, first of all. So Joe's got to go. So we'll end it with that. Got a new supplier who has 20% margin, got branded search, $18K a month, $500 products. I think there is good opportunity to scale it, but there's quite a bit of competition. How can differentiate? Well, yeah, if you're offering a free gift, I mean, if there's 18K a month branded search for that product, then there's going to be a lot of SEO potential. So that's a whole separate aspect of it. If you go to buildassetsonline.com, you know, check out our coaching program. That's something we work with people a lot on. And, you know, our free content is one thing, but when we actually work with people, I feel like that's where we provide, honestly, 1,000 times more value, because everything we say here is kind of just generic fluff. The real value is when we're working inside of a business and giving you step-by-step instructions to get you to an actual goal, or step-by-step instructions for creating a real business.
Well, I think even with our paid content, I think one of the biggest problems is that people might take something that we say and they just – I think we give a lot of value in this free content, Mike, but the big problem is whether they're watching the paid content or the free content is that it always shocks me how people will take something that one of us said and like harp on it. And it was like such a small detail that we mentioned in one of the videos, and like, oh, I'm not doing this because you guys said this or something like that. So having the ability to talk to us and just to say, no, like what I really meant was this. I think that's what makes a big difference, because I don't know. It always shocks me. Like, people will find something that we said or just become hyper-focused on one idea when they shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah. Oh, our boy said he's from Egypt. So if I'm going for dropshipping, I should start locally. And I would say do it in a country where you're a native language speaker. So apologies, since I don't understand all the I guess you speak Arabic, and is it the same Arabic in Egypt as it is in other countries? If so, then, you know, any one of those countries I think would be fair game if the business laws permit.
What it comes down to is, so if I don't know the language of Egypt. Let me look it up. Language of Egypt, Arabic. Okay, so it's just a matter of, can you find suppliers in Egypt that are going to ship directly to the customer? I mean, maybe they sell something like some of the products we talk about, bathtubs or whatever. You might have to just, I don't know if the practice of dropshipping would be as well established. So you might have to like kind of work with them a little bit and explain to them what you want to do. But I think you could do it. I don't think that's a big deal. Again, I think it just comes down to set up a quick website, do something like generic that we talk about, like do bathtubs, set up a bathtub website in Arabic in Egypt, call, you know, and then do this research to find a bunch of people that warehouse and ship bathtubs. Maybe it's not as established. Maybe you don't get like a good prices with pictures. Maybe it's more, a little bit more footwork, but you do that, you start hitting the phones. That's how you're going to make some headway. And, you know, I think there's always opportunity there. I mean, Wayfair kind of started with racksandstands.com, but while the whole internet was still really new and e-commerce was new. So I would say that there probably is a lot of opportunity in a place like Egypt. I'm just speculating here. I don't really know anything about the country. I'm just assuming e-commerce is not as well established as it is here. That's just because we see that like in the UK and like other countries, it's a bit, I feel like the US is a little bit more like e-commerce is like the main thing now. Like more people buy online than in real life. So yeah, I think if you view it from that lens, like it's not as established, you might have to do more work. I think there could be a lot of opportunity, if that makes sense.
Yep. Be early to the game. Khalid said, those are all demo products on a store. Yeah, I don't know what you're doing. You got way too many demo products. You're doing something way wrong. Could be because the way you're contacting these suppliers. And again, unfortunately, if you're not a native English speaker, it's going to hurt you. So I don't know. Maybe because something is breaking along the chain here. And so it would really require a deeper look to say why that is and who you're contacting and exactly what's happening. So I wish I could say more. Levi says, any chance you guys bring back the monthly elite fleet? No. So if you do want to work with us, you got to go to buildassetsonline.com and apply, and we'll see what's going on. Because, listen, our time is limited. We want less students, better results. Because, yeah, our free content is one thing, and I'm extremely happy if it helps people. But yeah, our step-by-step programs and our coaching, that's just another level. So hopefully if you find value, you know, in this stuff, you'll find a lot more value when we can give a lot more specific, tailored advice. So, Joe, are we ready to wrap this up here?
Hey, he said he applied. He didn't get a response. But yeah.
I'll have to investigate that. But in any event, Joe, Mike, buildassetsonline.com. Hope you guys enjoyed the content today. Hope you guys realize the best way to create a brand and to avoid being penalized by these helpful content updates is through high ticket e-commerce. So that's it for today. You could take it or leave it. But as always, take it easy.